Hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp from homeschoolcpa.com, back with another podcast for homeschool leaders. And I have been talking about helping your board prepare to be the best board it can be by releasing what I call the Homeschool Board Member Manual. And in this episode, I want to talk in particular about calendars and agendas. So one thing I really wanted to include in my board member manual, and that is a Word document that you can customize for your particular organization, but it's a template of what you should have in your board manual that goes to every board member. And one thing you need to have in there is a meeting calendar and an agenda, and that's what we're going to talk about. You know, I have been on lots of boards, lots of nonprofit boards at my church, or different churches I belong to, as well as other nonprofit organizations. And some of them have been fantastic. Well, all of them have been fantastic opportunities, but some have been run much better than others. And the boards that have run well typically have a board binder. And in there, they have a meeting calendar, and I love that. I love going into the beginning of the year saying what's on the calendar, what days are we going to be meeting, what are important due dates, what are important events. So I'm going to encourage you to have that calendar yourself. So I belong to one board that, they only held meetings when it was necessary, meaning when there was a crisis. They didn't schedule regular board meetings to talk about things on a regular basis. And so whenever a board meeting was called, it always went for 2 or 3 hours. Emotions were always high because there was some kind of crisis going on. It was horrible. And what this board really needed to do was to do what other successful boards have done, was to meet regularly. Now, I think you should meet monthly. Maybe even year-round, and even in the summer when you're taking time off, I think you maybe need to meet monthly. I belonged on another board where we only met every other month. Now, you know, and some of us thought, oh, that's great. You know, I don't have to go to a meeting every month. But it got to the point where we realized the board was not, and the organization was not doing very well. They were not doing their job, their mission. And so wisely, one of the people, the head of the board, kind of said, we need to start having monthly meetings. I know that's like twice as many as we used to do in a year, but we really need to. So bravo for him. Okay, so on your meeting calendar, map out when you're going to have board meetings monthly. Now, when I was on my homeschool co-op, I was a homeschool treasurer in my homeschool co-op, we managed to have our board meetings right there during co-op day. You may or may not be able to do that, but it was wonderful when the board members all arranged to have the same hour free. Whew, that might take a lot of planning on your part, but that was fabulous because then we didn't have to arrange for a night out or another, you know, babysitting and things like that. Right now, I'm on a board that meets with the organization. It's a MOPS. It's a Mothers of Preschoolers. I am not a mother of preschooler. My kids are 23 and 26. But I am what's called a mentor mom. So our board meetings are once a month. That's good. And then it's on a Thursday morning, and that's because MOPS meets on the other Thursday mornings of the month, either our official MOPS program or our play dates. So we know that Thursday mornings are free because the other Thursdays of the month are scheduled. So that's when they put our board meetings. So that works great as well. But you should also not just put your board meetings on your calendar, but you should put due dates. You know, since I'm a CPA, I care a whole lot about you being compliant with the IRS. If you have 501c7 or C3 tax exempt status with the IRS, you have to be doing an annual report to them. You need to put the due date of when that report is due on your calendar, like due date here. Actually, put a reminder a month before. Remind treasurer, have you filed the IRS forms? Put it 3 or 4 months beforehand, please. By the way, the IRS form, it's called a 990, probably 990N for most of you. That's the small version of it, is due 4.5 months after the end of your fiscal year. So put due dates on there. What does your state require? And what are its due dates for annual reporting from nonprofits? If you don't know, contact me. I can help you figure it out. Okay, Carol@homeschoolcpa. But put those due dates on. If you're going to have, you know, some kind of big event, how about the day co-op classes start? How about, you know, the day something else maybe big in your community happens, like a youth curriculum fair or a homeschool convention. Here in Cincinnati, we have a very large homeschool convention, so we always wanted to know and put that on our calendar so that sometimes we wouldn't hold co-op that day because so many of our members were going to the convention that day. So put out a board calendar, set your meeting dates far in advance so your board members know this is when we're meeting, okay? The other thing that I have found really successful boards do is have a meeting agenda. And this goes out before the meeting so everyone knows what's going to be talked about at the meeting. Okay. And sometimes some groups, a little more loosey-goosey, that you show up and the agenda's printed out there, but at least you get one. Okay. So here's what needs to go on the agenda. First of all, the date. So you keep track of when did this meeting happen. Because dates can end up being very important, especially if you're deciding or voting on things. You want to know what date you voted on these. I liked my church boards had listed who was present or who was absent. So you know who needs to be filled in on what was discussed and who was there. Typically, there's some kind of opening. I belong to lots of organizations that are faith-based, so we typically open with a prayer. When I was chair of a meeting at church, a board at church, I added sharing prayers and having a devotional. Can you believe it? We were a church board, but we didn't have devotion, so I thought that was a good way to focus our mind, and so we did that. That was our opening. It was a prayer and a short devotion. And then typically what I have found works very well is if there's some sort of executive report. Okay, now for my church, that was the pastor coming in and giving his report to either the chair of elders, board of elders, or trustees or something like that. In your case, it might be the person who runs the day-to-day activities of your homeschool program. That might be the president of the board, or that might be somebody else entirely. We had a co-op who had a board, but then we had a volunteer. She was like a super volunteer. She probably should have been paid. But we called her like the co-op director. She ran the day-to-day, and she would give her report. This is what's going on. Things are going well. These are the problems I had this month. That was how we started our meetings, with the executive report. That would be like the chief executive person who runs the program. Then there would be the treasurer's report. The treasurer, sometimes right before the treasurer, the secretary. She says, well, here are the minutes from last week's meeting or last month's meeting. Does everybody want to approve those minutes? Read them over. Do you remember it like I recorded it? Make any changes. And so that's first. The secretary says, here are the minutes from the last meeting. Do we approve them? Okay. So that's like the secretary's report. The treasurer's report would follow hers. So it's typically the executive or the president's report, then the secretary's report, then the treasurer's report. And the treasurer should be giving you financial statements. Here's the money we brought in. Here are our expenses. Here's our bank balance. Here's the budget. Here's what's being proposed. Something like that. Okay. And then finally, you might have committee reports. If there are any committees out there, maybe there's a field trip committee or a fundraising committee or a graduation committee or something like that, where you farm out some of the jobs to committees, they should come with a report. Now, they may come to the meeting, and they may leave at this point after they give their report, or they may give their report to the secretary or to the chairman, and he reads their report. Or so-and-so reported to me via telephone. Things are going well with graduation, and he gives a quick report on what the committee came up with. Okay, so far that's your agenda. Start with an opening. Have the report from the top executive, whether that's the president or the, you know, person running the day-to-day stuff, sometimes called an executive director at nonprofits, a secretary's report, a treasurer's report, and committee reports. Now, here's something that I highly recommend you stick in before you get to the business that you're holding the meeting for, and that would be board training. So this is a time to offer board training or discuss issues of board governance. Now, I have a list in my board member manual of things I think you should talk about kind of on an annual basis, like talk about what are our goals. That's a good thing to talk about. Are we meeting our goals? Hey, this month, let's review our insurance policy. Next month, let's review our bylaws. All these things about you know, good governance and training your board. And so every year, you know, you'll come around, okay, this is the month we're going to look at the bylaws again. Do they need to be updated? This is the month we're going to talk about our funding. Do we need to change our fundraisers? Things like that. Okay, so you spread it out over the year, and you'll cover very important things every year as you go along. So again, I have a suggested list in my board member manual, which you can find over at homeschoolcpa.com. It's a resource for you. At a very low, reasonable cost. Hey, I only charge you one time, and I allow you to make printouts of the board member manual for all of your board members. I don't want you to share the document electronically, but I will let you print it off for use within your board. If you want your own electronic copy, please buy multiple downloads then, okay? But I will let you print off copies for your board, but I only charge you one time. Isn't that nice of me? Okay, but now you get to the real purpose of your meeting, which is new business. This is where new issues are discussed, new plans are discussed. The president may have something that he's got to bring up, you know, problems with a family, or what are we making progress on, some event we're planning, or things like this. And you discuss it, and you take votes, and you record what the action of the vote is at that point. Then there might be a section where you discuss old business, which is you follow up. You say, what was happening with what we discussed last month? Some topic, some issue, some problem. So there's new business, and then there's old business that needs to be updated. And finally, at the bottom of your agenda is a really important thing that gets left off, but I have seen good boards use this, and this is called action items. This is a list of what was agreed to, what action needs to be taken, and most importantly, who's going to do it, and when is the due date. So let's say it comes up that we need more money. You know, the treasurer's report is bad, and someone says, let's have a fundraising committee. And everybody agrees. Yeah, let's have a fundraising committee. They figure out some fundraisers. Okay, everybody agrees. And they go on to the next item. Nobody was given the action item. Who is going to start this committee? Who's going to, you know, put members on it? Typically, it's the chairman who finds someone to head the committee and says, gather three people, put together a fundraising plan. Okay? But so it would be fundraising committee, the responsible person would be the president, or maybe someone else in the board will volunteer so the president isn't doing everything. And the due date would be by next month, a committee needs to be formed and they need to have met their first time and come up with a fundraising plan and maybe set a goal. How much money do we want them to fundraise? Okay. So these action items at the bottom of your agenda are so very important for getting things done, ladies and gentlemen. So I do have this sample meeting agenda in the board member manual, so it's easier to see sometimes than to hear it. But I hope this podcast has been helpful for you to know what kinds of things that good boards do. They have calendars that they plan way in advance of their meetings. They don't just let the meetings happen when needed. They plan and have meetings. If you don't have anything to discuss at that meeting, you can do more board training. Using some of the topics that I recommend and some of the documents I put in the board member manual. Or, hey, if there's nothing to do, then you just get to know each other better and form a better team, or you pray for each other, and that would be wonderful, and pray for your group and pray for wisdom and the vision for your group. That would be fabulous use of your time. And, you know, good board members, again, good boards that are well-run have calendars, and they also set agendas. And have usually those agendas written up so the board members know what's going to happen and can take notes. And again, samples in my new board member manual. So I hope that manual is very helpful to you. If you think of ways that it can be improved, let me know. You can drop me a line, carol@homeschoolcpa.com. Homeschoolcpa.com is also where you're going to be able to find that board member manual for your use in helping you run your homeschool organization better. So I hope this podcast has been helpful. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great day and a great board. Bye-bye.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.